Hey, it's me, Gavin Crawford. Every week, I'll quiz comedians about the headlines. Do you worry about kids being exposed to drag?
I grew up going to see men in dresses singing every Sunday and we had to give them money, okay? I wish they were singing show tunes and had some makeup and their hair done, right? It would have been way better.
If the news has you screaming into the void, we can help with that. Because News is available on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Listen, the relationship between art and commerce has always been complicated. That is not new. But what is new is sponsors are pulling out of supporting some of the biggest festivals in the country. Today on the podcast, how does art survive if corporations won't support it? I'm Alameen Abdul Mahmoud. This is Commotion. Listen, this is not going to come as a shock to you if you follow arts in this country, but over the last few weeks, there have been a number of stories about cultural organizations who are grappling with some serious financial challenges right now. And what's interesting about this is that it's happening as big corporate sponsors decide, you know what, we're going to put our money elsewhere. We are talking about all kinds of institutions, by the way, from the long established theater companies to film, dance, music festivals. They're all just trying to figure out how to fill the gap. Josh O'Kane has been reporting on this for the Globe and Mail. Darcy Killeen is a chief executive of the Contact Photography Festival, one of the biggest photography festivals in the world. He recently found out that Scotiabank is not going to be extending its title sponsorship past the end of this year. Darcy, Josh, welcome to Commotion. How's it going?
Good morning.
Hi, I'm happy that you guys are here. Josh, I'm going to have you hang on for a moment because I want to get Darcy's perspective. Darcy, I know we're live on the radio right now, but I want you to like physically and mentally transform me back to that moment in the Scotiabank boardroom when you got the news after this year, Scotiabank is not going to be staying on as a title sponsor of your festival. What was the feeling like as you found out this information?
Well, you know, the bank has been a tremendous partner of ours for, you know, it was 15 years and we went through renewal terms of 2 or 3 or 5 years. And, you know, these renewals became almost just like a pleasurable meeting. And it just went in and things got extended and the investment increased and just moved on. And that's the way it was. So, you know, I went into this one feeling great because our partnership was growing. I think the return on investment we were giving to the bank was growing. It was quantifiable and they could see it.
Yeah.
But very quickly, you know, the message was delivered. I was there by myself. There was, a few people from the bank. And the message was delivered that this was going to come to an end. And, you know, honestly, I was shocked. I was deeply saddened. The news hit really hard. Mm-hmm. And I usually speak very quickly, but I decided to just take a deep breath and think about this and let it sink in. And, you know, that moment probably seemed like an hour, but it was probably just a few seconds. I just stood up and I walked across the room and I shook their hands. I said, thank you very much. You know, I knew this was a done deal. I knew there was no way I was going to talk my way out of it.
You didn't try to change their minds in that moment?
No. You know, I've been in, you know, I come from the business world and, you know, this was clearly a business decision that was, you know, very well thought out and made. And, you know, the bank strategies were changing. So I just shook their hands, thanked them and walked out and tried to keep my head up high. And, you know, I'm a bike rider. So I got on my bike and biked to the office and wasn't a very nice bike ride home. That's for sure.
No, like that sounds like it would fill, it would certainly would, if I was in that position, it would fill my whole body with some kind of anxiety, right? I mean, like you said, you've had this partnership for 15 years. They've been the title sponsor of the festival. Scotiabank funded between a third and a half of what it costs to put on the Contact Photography Festival. Where does this leave you now as you sort of look towards the future?
When this news was first delivered, you know, I think, and Josh and I have been discussing this for a while, that I think the days of title sponsorship are going away for a multitude of reasons. And, you know, we quickly thought here at the office and the board level that, you know, we could find 3 or 5 large national brands to fill that void, you know, whether they be corporate sponsors, whether they be donors, but that we could find some, you know, a group of people to fill this void. And unfortunately, and, you know, in this current climate that we're facing, it is not the easy path that we thought and envisioned. It's a struggle. And we have, you know, over 25 proposals out to the biggest companies in this country. And unfortunately, they're not being very well received at this point in time. So, you know, we have had to make cuts to this year's festival.
Yeah.
You know, as an organization, we're here to serve artists and an audience. You know, we have, you know, hundreds of artists. We have, you know, a million visitors coming to this. It's entirely free for everybody. So to try to maintain that level of service, we made some difficult cuts that really put a lot of, you know, pressure back on, you know, the core team here at Contact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we cut our advertising budget entirely, nationally and internationally. Our catalog, which is a cherished item that we print, you know, 10,000 copies and distribute for free, got entirely cut. We had to do some cuts to programming. And we just had to make these particular cuts this year. Right. And, you know, we are confident that we can get these, you know, large corporate sponsors back, but it might take a lot longer. So, you know, we'll see how what the future holds for us.
Yeah.
We might have to make cuts again, but, you know, Contact is, you know, that's the reality of the world right now.
I want to get to the whys that you mentioned in a moment, the whys that you and Josh have been talking about. But maybe first, Josh, we can paint a picture of the bigger picture here. Right? How common is Darcy's story right now? The idea of running a festival, hundreds of artists, you know, a million plus visitors, and then still facing cuts from a major sponsor. How common is that story right now?
Yeah, Darcy's definitely not alone in this. Like, the biggest example would be Bell leaving the Toronto International Film Festival.
That's right.
About 6 months ago, after 28 years, their official statement when they announced that was that they wanted to invest in other opportunities that are core to our business. Now, it's hard to say exactly what that means.
Like, how big was that sponsorship? It was millions of dollars a year, but I don't remember the exact number. Do you remember?
I don't have the exact number, yeah. But it does cost a lot of money to put your name on a building, which they did at the TIFF Bell Lightbox.
That's right.
You know, it's hard to say where that money's going. There is the Bell Let's Talk initiative, but companies often, in different ways, parse like sponsorship versus corporate philanthropy versus corporate initiatives. It's hard to parse exactly why those decisions are made or where they're going. But the real story is that corporate sponsorships change all the time. 30 or 40 years ago, these sort of big title sponsorship, like let's drop a mill here, you know, that might have been directed by members of the board or the executive. But it gradually became more and more the responsibility of corporate marketing departments.
Right.
They're looking for brand alignment or return on their investment. And, you know, what that looks like changes over time. And so does data, and marketing departments work with data. They want to know how many eyeballs are looking at their sponsorship, their brand logo. And, you know, as that becomes easier to find and as brand priorities change, so do sponsorships.
Right. When we sort of look at this grand scheme of things, I think TIFF actually and this relationship to Bell is a good example of this because, you know, the Lightbox, which is TIFF's headquarters in downtown Toronto, have been called the Bell Lightbox for a long time. As Josh just said, Darcy, it costs a lot of money, you know, to put your name on a building. And then eventually you go, I don't know what I'm getting out of this. Let me just kind of step back and reevaluate here. Darcy, what's your sense of why this is happening right now?
Well, you know, for our relationship with the bank, you know, just that one alone, you know, we had a 15-year run, and that is a tremendous run in the world of corporate sponsorship. You know, Contact has had corporate sponsors our entire life, and, you know, the duration is usually 3 to 5. But I think, you know, in the grander, you know, picture of all of this, you know, I think we're seeing a shift out of culture. Like, we really are, and I think it's
going to... You mean companies shifting out of participating in culture?
Leaving culture entirely and going more towards like cause related and, you know, like issues like healthcare, you know, education, children, world aid, you know, these critical causes. And, you know, you can't fault these organizations. Like, you know, these are very important causes. They're switching their mandate.
Yeah.
And one thing with Scotiabank is, you know, they definitively made a shift towards education, new immigrants, creating opportunities for employment. And that is their shift. And although Contact falls, you know, into that mandate because of, you know, how we work with so many high school, university students, how we're creating jobs, how we work with so many, you know, underprivileged neighborhoods, how we work with, you know, such different communities. But, you know, I think the shift is, you know, that culture is now philanthropic and, you know, sponsorship is going towards other areas. And I really see that shift.
Josh, I also don't like, I want to ignore the long history, right, of the relationship between commerce and art here, and how that history has been maybe like shifting in the last few years. Like when I think about, for example, the Guggenheim and I think it was another London museum that refused money from the Sackler family, for example, because they're like, we know that money's coming from Purdue Pharma and we are not interested in that. You know, that where the money comes from has become a little bit more of a central question. Or at least a bit more of a question. You know, the idea of like a Du Maurier Jazz Festival. That's not a thing that, you know, exists right now. What's your sense of corporations sort of like hedging risk, if you will? The idea of if we put our name on, you know, on top of this festival, it opens us up to protests. It opens us up to people who will use the platform of this festival to be critical of us as an institution. And maybe a part of this being like risk management. Do you see that being a part of this? And I'm only thinking here because Scotiabank, yes, was a sponsor of the Contact Photo Festival, but also it is a sponsor of the Giller Prize. And last year, that was part of the reason like there were protests at the Giller Prize.
Yeah, actually, just yesterday, I was at the Hot Docs Documentary Film Festival, the announcement of this year's slate of films. For the festival that launches next month. And just outside, surprisingly, not that many other reporters actually walked to the rally that happened outside and talked to the people who were there. And I spoke with a couple of the organizers for No Arms in the Arts. And they were, they are concerned about Scotiabank's investment through a subsidiary in the Israeli arms manufacturer, Elbit Systems. And that is something that you're seeing a lot of grassroots opposition happening. We saw that on stage at the Gillers. We saw that the rally yesterday outside the Hot Docs announcement. Yeah. That isn't necessarily what I am hearing be playing into the sponsorship in the arts. When I spoke with Scotiabank for the story, when I spoke with Darcy about what's happening with Contact, their major issue was that they were sort of focusing on a program called Scotia Rise, which is, as Darcy was saying, focusing on sort of basically making the economic ladder easier to climb for new Canadians and people who are in sort of more difficult economic circumstances. What we are seeing in terms of how companies are thinking about this is, again, it's a focus on social issues and data. Yeah. Sports sponsorships have like doubled over the past decade, according to the Canadian Sponsorship Landscape Study, because companies like MLSE that own the Raptors and the Leafs can give you so much data based on who's in the arena, who's watching the commercials. And then you're also seeing, again, more cause-related things that companies can, I think, have a bit more control over. Scotia Rise, as an example, would be one of them, the one that they've invested, they've announced a $500 million investment at Scotiabank. To focus on that program. And so there is a big push towards that for that sort of that pot of money that every company sees differently.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
If folks are just joining us, my name is Alameen Abdul Mahmoud, and this show is called Commotion. I'm talking with Darcy Killeen and Josh O'Kane, and we are talking about money and sponsorship and the arts and the ways that a lot of arts organizations have in the last little while lost their big sponsors. Darcy, we're talking to you because you lost your biggest sponsor, your title sponsor. That's not an easy thing to even process. I'm sorry to put you in this position, man. Like you're like barely recovering from this giant news. Let me ask you this. When Scotiabank comes to you and says, We want to see a return on investment. Or when you go to them and you say, let me show you a return on the investment on the money that you put in here. Where do you even begin to show that? Because it makes sense, I guess, if you're a corporation and you're putting money into something, you'd want to see some kind of return for yourself. So how do arts organizations demonstrate the value of big corporate sponsorship, do you think?
It is a very difficult thing to do. You know, Contact is very fortunate that, the two big assets that we bring to, any type of partnership, sponsorship, donor, anything.
Sure.
Is our audience size and also the amount of press that we get. So, just one way of looking at it is last year, Contact received 2 billion media impressions from 162 countries around the world.
Wow.
Okay. That can be quantified to be $175 million worth of media. And Scotiabank is mentioned in 86% of it.
Right.
So there is $140 million of attention that is given to them, where they could be buying ads in newspapers or doing other things, but it's directly given to them. And it also shows, their alignment and support of culture. So it's, it's a very good feel story, and it's very quantifiable, and it's very easy to do.
Right.
That's one. Another one is when you look at, the scope and the size of Contact and how the festival really takes over the entire city. This is the third biggest city in North America. There are, up to 200 exhibitions. We're at museums, galleries, coffee shops, artist-run centers, you name it. There's signage, there's events. There's 175 evenings you can go out and have a glass of wine and meet an artist and a curator. Mm-hmm. These are all creating tremendous advertising value for the for Scotia, because their name is on all of these items. So, those are just two easy ways to say, here is some incredible return for your investment.
I think the value to me of sponsorship has always been, banks regularly post their profit statements, and every once in a while you look at the amount of money that they made. And after a little while, Darcy, they start to look a little impolite holding on to all that money. You sort of looks a little gauche, if you will. And so they become involved in worthy causes that will also advance, the purposes of those big sponsors. It doesn't have to be a bank. It could be a telecom. It could be any other kind of big company. But when they pull out in this manner, I think the question mark becomes, how do these arts organizations survive? Because they're often left scrambling here. And by that, I mean, it's not like it's an escalator, or an escalator down of saying, okay, slowly over the next 3 years, we're going to unwind our relationship. You found out at the end of this year, this is it. This is the end of the story. So what's your game plan now? Because I imagine that must come as a shock if you're trying to run an arts organization well into the future.
Yeah. No, it's a very difficult situation. And I think, as you've mentioned, we're not the only one in this position.
Yeah.
In the last 2 weeks, there's 10 that have basically closed their doors entirely. And, there's a lot that are facing financial difficulty.
Yeah.
So, our immediate measure was, to reduce costs. And I don't see this climate getting better anytime soon. I see this taking years till we get some kind of return. So, having that foresight is very important. And I think a lot of organizations are seeing that now and will do the same thing. We'll make the cuts, that are required to get through. And it's horrible that we're diminishing our services to our, to these communities, but it is the reality of the world. And, myself and, my executive director, we have a very difficult challenge to try to find these new replacement corporate sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe, Contact has diversified revenues. Like the government, all three levels of government, their support of the arts has been incredible in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It has been incredible. But, it's not going to grow any further. It was there for COVID. It got us through. But now the organizations are seeing that go away. The corporate sponsorship is going away.
Right.
We also get money from individual donors, but the individual donors are also leaving culture. So the cost-cutting measures are there now. And the very difficult challenge is to find, new sources of revenue to continue to provide the service that we have for our artists, our community, our audiences, our stakeholders.
Right.
The work we do for our artist-run centers, for everybody. Like, that's the challenge that's facing us.
I have to say, it surprises me that all individual donors are also moving away from this, because it's not like you look any more polite holding on to the amount of money if you're an individual person. But that's just me and my perspective. Look, Josh, when I ran into you outside the CBC building a few months ago, you said, hey, I'm really excited. I've got this new beat that I'm building out. It's the business of the arts. Boy, just a few months later, is it the busiest beat around here. I'm going to give last word to you on this. You're spending a lot of your time as a reporter trying to figure out just like what is happening with arts funding. What is your sense of the future of these organizations that have depended on these big title sponsors for so long?
It's dark. It is. It's really dark now.
Jeez, tell us how you really feel, pal. Okay, continue.
I mean, I mean, 2 days ago, I was writing a story about programmers exiting Hot Docs. Well, then another window right next to it about a strike at the Art Gallery of Ontario. There's a lot of struggle going on right now, particularly on the financial side. You know, the Shaw Theater Festival just posted its biggest deficit in history. You know, Just for Laughs seems to be very much at its end. You know, you've got less income from audiences as people just have less money to spend because of inflation over the last few years. You know, there's a decline in charitable giving that's been going back 20 years. And then government funding in a lot of provinces has been stagnant. And, you know, federally, you can point to a bunch of government programs that launched either during or just before the pandemic that are going to come to an end. They've got these jargony names like the Major Festivals and Events Support Initiative and the Canada Arts Presentation Fund. People don't know if these are going to be re-upped. They may or may not be. So yeah, the future is rough. Like all of these costs are going up and the revenue is stagnant. So someone's got to step in. Or we are going to see fewer events, fewer festivals, fewer enablers of art and culture and the creation and sustaining of art in Canada without really thinking about where the future of revenue is coming from.
I'm one of those people who like to end things on a slightly positive note, but also hearing that, I go, oh my gosh, for those who are watching this on video, Josh O'Kane just put giant fireworks behind him because it is a bleak moment. Let me ask you this. Maybe as this could be the small positive note that we can end on.
Okay,
does this mean that mid-size or smaller organizations can thrive in this environment because they're not as dependent on these big sponsorship titles? And if it's dark for them too, then I don't want to know. But take it away, Josh.
I mean, the biggest example of success that I can think of off the top of my head right now would be the Stratford Festival in Stratford, Ontario.
Okay.
Just last week, they reported a surplus for 2023 of $400,000. They're extremely unique. They've got this super long history. They've got a long history of philanthropists and giving. Mm. But they also strike the right interesting mix of classic theater, obviously Shakespeare,
yeah,
but then blockbusters like Rent, and also new and contemporary Canadian theater.
Yeah,
it's hard to get that mix that's just one great example. Finding the right balance is difficult and depends on what art form you're working with and what your history is. But it is possible out there. I just don't know how many people are going to hit that sort of that sweet spot.
This has been depressing is not the word, but worrying, I would say. I think if you're interested and focused on the future of arts in this country, this has been a really illuminating conversation. Darcy Killeen, Josh O'Kane, I really appreciate you guys being here. Darcy, I wish you luck, man. I'm going to keep us updated, won't you? Would that be okay with you? I'm going to check
in. I will definitely keep you updated. Don't worry.
Please do. Okay. Josh, Darcy, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, you guys.
Take care, man.
Thank you. Darcy Killeen is the chief executive of the Scotiabank Contact Photography Festival. That's its name until the end of the year. And then who knows what's going to happen. Josh O'Kane is the Globe and Mail's arts and business reporter. And that is it for the podcast. Remember, you can listen to the show anytime you like, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Instagram. We're at Commotion CBC. My name is Al-Amin Abdul Mahmoud. I'll see you tomorrow.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.